No guards, no masters, only helpful advice.
It's Red Dead Redemption with Auckland Union representative Justine Sachs.
Kia ora, Justine.
Kia ora, Rachel. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks. How are you going?
I'm good, thanks.
That is good to hear. We have got some union questions to put to you from the listeners. Are you ready to go?
Yeah, sweet. Sure.
All right, this first one is from somebody who says, my work has got no toilet on site and the closest public loo isn't within walking distance. Should this be something they need to change? It doesn't feel right. Certainly doesn't sound right. What's the deal with that?
It doesn't sound right because it isn't right. Every workplace, especially if there's a fixed location, has a legal requirement to provide adequate washroom spaces and toilet spaces. So that doesn't sound right to me at all. Sometimes when you have a travelling job, so if you don't have a fixed, you know, workspace, then those requirements obviously might not exist. But it sounds like there is a fixed location here. So it doesn't sound like they're meeting their legal requirements. It comes back to a health and safety issue at the end of the day. If I were this person, I would call WorkSafe to chat with them about this. Because it definitely is a legal requirement. It doesn't sound like your employer is meeting that.
I know that was a problem a lot of people who work in construction were having over some of the lockdowns as well, with public bathrooms being closed because of COVID and things. So, yeah, it definitely sounds like a conversation you should be having with your employer and with WorkSafe in this situation as well. So thanks, Justine. We've got a text from somebody who says, I work at a bar casually, but for the last 6 weeks before level 3, I did on average about 30 hours a week. Should I have been getting paid that for the wage subsidy while we were closed?
As far as I know, yes. So the criteria they were using was the past month, your work patterns for the past month.
Right.
That said, in the law, it's actually your work patterns over a year. On how to calculate average wages. So it's really a bit unclear, to be honest. But the criteria I've seen is the last 4 weeks. So I think that you should use that criteria because that's the one I've seen most commonly used, and use that to argue that you should have been receiving that. I'm not sure why you wouldn't have been at least receiving something. But definitely the criteria that I've seen used is the last month. So you should have been based on your average earnings over that previous month prior to level 3. That's a bit of a convoluted answer.
No, it's useful. I was just going to say, if this is possibly one of those situations where someone's not sure if their boss has been getting the wage subsidy or not, where is the place to go again? Is it the MBIE website if you wanted to see?
And you can actually look and see if your employer has been receiving that wage subsidy, and they should be passing that on. And unfortunately, it is up to us to actually check that and make sure that they're accountable to us, because there's not a lot of fail-safes with the wage subsidy, and it is up to the workers to make sure that they are passing that on, which sucks. But unfortunately, that's the way that they've set it up.
We've got another question around the kind of construction industry. Someone says, I work in construction and my boss is pretty relaxed, maybe not the best thing to be, about health and safety. Who should I be talking to about that?
So if you do have a health and safety rep, please do talk to your health and safety rep. If you want a health and safety rep, look at how you can elect one, talk to your boss about that. If you think things are bad enough, again, I think WorkSafe is a good place to talk to about health and safety concerns on construction sites.
Mm-hmm.
And also, of course, my other advice is always join a union, so that you could talk to a union rep about this, because you could probably go into a little bit more detail about what the issues are with health and safety on the site.
With unions for construction workers, is there a specific union or are there like private unions people join? Where's the place that people can go and find out what unions are eligible again, Justine?
You can look on the CTU. I don't have the exact URL, but if you go on the CTU and you say find a union, I think if you Google CTU find your union, you'll be able to go through your industry and the applicable unions. But construction is one of those industries that isn't well unionized because a lot of people are contractors.
Right.
But ETU is the largest private sector union in the country, and they would be able to cover construction workers, and I believe they do cover some construction sites. So ETU would be, I think, your union, but double check that.
Excellent. So that's the Council of Trade Unions, the CTU. And the last question we've got this morning is somebody who said, Morena, I've been offered a job but am required to undertake a pre-employment medical check before I start work. Am I allowed to refuse this? Also, are they required to reimburse me for my time and mileage to go to their required medical centre? Thank you.
This is a really good question. The answer is that contractual obligations is something that's not well regulated by the law.
Right.
So things that you know are things that you have to do that make your that are and then your employment is conditional on that. There's not a lot of regulation. So if an employer says we want you to have a medical check, and you know your employment is potentially contingent on that, there's not a lot that you can do. I mean, you can refuse, but of course the outcome of that might mean that you won't get the job. So that's a really good question because it just highlights that there needs to be more regulation around that area, because I don't think that people should, I mean, personally, I think that unless it's really required for the job, so, you know, is this a job where there is some kind of component of it that you would need, they would need to make sure that you're able to do that, you know, to do it, that would maybe justify that. But in a lot of the cases where employers ask for this, it doesn't seem justified. So it is definitely an interesting one. And the answer is you're absolutely not required to do it, but your employment is probably conditional on that. So it would mean that you potentially won't get the job. And in terms of reimbursing you for your mileage and time, that's also really another good question. And no, the answer is no, because there's no contract yet.
Right.
So again, it's, you're in that kind of like nebulous space where you potentially have a contract or an employment relationship, but there is no relationship. So it's voluntary. So yeah, that sucks. Unfortunately, that is the case.
That is very sucky. Yes, indeed. Justine, thank you very much. Those have been some very helpful answers to the texters' questions. If you guys have got any issues and you think that Justine might be able to help you with some union or employment sort of responses to that, you can text them through onto 5395 and we will put them to you this time next week, Justine. See you then.
See you then.
Bye.
Bye.
Yeah. Take that, the man.
Red Dead Redemption with Auckland Union representative Justine Sachs.